If evolution were true, you couldn't know it. Stay tuned to find out what I mean on Unapologetic. Before I tell you how you couldn't know evolution were true if it were true, and explain that some more, I want to briefly recap what evolution is. Neo-Darwinian evolution is a combination of the theories of Darwin that have kind of, well, evolved over the years and been further developed. And they have twin mechanisms at the heart of it. And what those are the combination of random mutation and natural selection. Random mutation refers to the fact that when cells reproduce and animals reproduce, that sometimes there are differences that occur. There are mutations. The genetic code actually differs. It's not passed on exactly the same way. And some of these mutations can be beneficial for survival, and some can be less beneficial, or they can be detrimental. But that's random mutation. Well, then there's this other mechanism of natural selection. And what this says is that organisms with more helpful mutations, more helpful adaptations to their environment, are more likely to survive. That nature, in a way, selects the ones that are most fit. And so that's a very brief thumbnail sketch of neo-Darwinian evolution. Now, why do I say that if that's true, you couldn't know it? Because there's nothing in that system, those twin mechanisms of random mutation and natural selection, that actually says anything about an organism's ability to know its environment, to actually come to correctly understand the truth of reality. All that those twin mechanisms tell you is that you might be more fit for your environment. So on evolutionary theory, nature makes you more fit to survive, not to actually know truth as it exists out in the world. And let's remember, there are a few different versions or theories of truth. One version or theory of truth says truth is just whatever I believe. This is a subjective view of truth, where there are as many truths as there are people to believe them. The other view of truth is objective truth, which says there's truth out in the world for the knowing. In other words, if the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it actually fell. The tree doesn't have to be heard in order for it to make a sound. On a subjective view of truth, if no one thinks about the tree falling, then it's not true that it fell. So there are those two views of truth. There's also kind of a third view, which would be a pragmatic view of truth, where truth is just simply what seems to work. Well, which of these versions of truth can evolution actually support? Which actual view fits in an evolutionary worldview? Well, it's not objective truth. At least it's not the fact that we can come to know objective truth. Because remember, evolution selects for what is most fit to survive. And a lot of times, the things that help you survive and comfort you are not always true. I think of false religions. I think, which, you know, the non-Christian would put Christianity in. So the non-Christian even can say positive things about religion. They can say, well, it helps people cope with life. It lowers blood pressure. It gives them a sense of community. And those types of things. Now, they can't tell you why those are good. They can't ground that in anything outside of themselves, but that's a separate conversation. But you'll notice, on this view, the religious person has come to believe things about the world that, on the evolutionist's view, are false, but nonetheless beneficial. And in the evolutionary worldview, there is nothing that tells us we should be able to arrive at truth. There is nothing that says we are not simply the products of molecules in motion, that we are not simply big bags of biological stuff. And so the evolutionary worldview lacks so much explanatory power. It can't explain how the universe is orderly. If we live in a universe that popped into existence from nothing with no cause for no purpose, then what reason do we have to believe that things are going to be orderly thereafter? Well, we don't have one. And in fact, some notable thinkers, atheistic thinkers throughout history, have realized that we can't really say, well, we know what's going to happen in the future based on natural law. All we can say is we know what has happened. And so if you have a non-Christian theistic worldview, you don't have a universe that's knowable if you're consistent in your view. But more than that, if we're the products of random mutation and natural selection, and that means we don't have a soul, we don't have a mind, we're simply, well, better evolved apes, the distant cousins of some bacteria somewhere, well, then we also don't have the ability to think and make choices. and come to well-reasoned decisions. What we do is we live in a determined universe, which once again means we can't come to know our actual universe outside of ourselves. Well, there's not really a self on an atheistic worldview either if they're consistent. So let's just briefly recap. If evolution is true, we have no reason to believe that evolution itself would actually select for traits that actually mean you can come to know the real world. Nothing in evolution says or would make sense of the fact that it selects for people who can know objective truth. What it does select for, on that theory, is survivability. And oftentimes, things that help us survive aren't necessarily true. Now, certainly, we can come to know things that are true and do help us survive, like don't step in front of buses, don't overdose on drugs, etc. Those are true things that do help us survive. But not all true things help you survive. And so evolution would not select for those if the evolutionist is consistent. So that's the first problem. Nothing in evolution suggests it would give us an objective version of truth that we can know out in the world. Well, the second thing is it can't explain the orderliness of the world. So the universe came into existence from nothing, for no cause. That's a random event. And yet science itself is predicated on the fact that the universe runs according to natural laws that are extremely fine-tuned and have no deviation. And all that just came randomly. That doesn't make sense. And yet the Bible says that God creates and sustains everything, and that's exactly why it runs the same today as it did yesterday, apart from his intervention in the world. More than that, though, if we are the products of natural selection and random mutation, we don't have a soul. We can't make free choices. Now, regardless of your view on free will, everyone in the Christian world affirms that we have a soul. And this actually makes sense of our experience. Because if the evolutionist disagrees with these statements I'm making, what's his defense? Well, I didn't have a choice in disagreeing. I had no free will in disagreeing, but I disagree. Which actually proves the point. If he says that he can evaluate the evidence, that he's not just a big biological computer, that he had a choice, well then he disproves his view. But if he does say, well, I am just a biological computer and I didn't have a choice, he's telling you not to believe him. Computers do not interpret data. They can't tell you meaning. They can tell you facts. They can't tell you what purpose is or why something happened. They can't tell you its end goal. They can't tell you those types of things. They can't tell you what good and evil is. And when the atheist wants to say, based on evolutionary theory, that people have done things that are wrong, that are hurtful to society, and they shouldn't do them, well, you can't ground that in evolution either. Because what on an evolutionary view would say that I should put other people first before myself? Well, nothing. And so we could go on and on and on, but what I want you to see is we can critique a person's position where it should naturally go. Now, we need to be careful that we don't critique the position someone doesn't hold based on what they should hold if they're consistent. But what we can do is realize where they're inconsistent and push on that as a point of tension. Kind of like in a window that has a small crack, the weak point is where the crack is. Push on that. Make them feel the tension, of course, in a nice and winsome way. But realize the Christian worldview explains so much more than the evolutionary worldview. We don't have to believe that we're products of random chance. We don't have to believe that our universe is here because it's random chance. And what does it even mean to choose to believe on an evolutionary worldview where you're determined in everything that happens? There's no choice. But more than that, why would we believe on an evolutionary worldview that things work the same tomorrow as they did yesterday? If there's nothing sustaining that, if there's nothing anchoring the fact that nature works the same way. So I hope what you see is the Christian worldview has great explanatory power for the world as we see it, and the evolutionary worldview does not. Now, if evolution is true, you couldn't know it. So I'm not saying, based on all I've said, that evolution is not true. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, it is true. You could not know that. You don't have a choice because you don't have a soul, you don't have a mind in analyzing the data. You are just the products of molecules crashing into each other, of electrons spinning and all of those types of things, of biochemical reactions in your brain and your neofrontal cortex or whatever. You don't have a choice in analyzing the data. So if it were true, you couldn't know it. So in conclusion, this puts the evolutionist in an interesting position. If he affirms his theory, he basically tells you, well, you don't have good reason to believe it because what evolution entails means you can't know it's true. And if he says it's not true, well then, hey, I agree with him. Now, You might want to listen to this again. There's a lot of kind of philosophical worldview thinking in here, but if we can start to think in worldviews and in consistency, I assure you, you will start to see just how powerful that is. When you start connecting the dots of what entails what and what fits with what and what scripture says about how the Bible actually explains what we see and experience in the world, I assure you, your faith will be strengthened. Your apologetic and witnessing capabilities will increase. So this week, I would encourage you, find someone who's talking about evolution and just try one of these lines of reasoning with them and use questions. You know, have you considered that if evolution were true, then we're all just kind of determined to believe and do the things we do, right? We don't have a mind or a soul. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the fact that if that's true, then that means you were just determined to believe evolution is true? That doesn't mean it actually is true. So you can use questions and conversations, and that's always a great tactic, to get to the truth of something in a conversation and lead that horse to water, so hopefully they will take a drink. Well, I'll talk with you next week on Unapologetic.